If you got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27, we're going to be looking at a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 27 that the Lord gave him about 2,500 years ago, but it kind of still speaks true to us today, and it's a guiding principle for anybody that's going through a difficult moment in their life as well. It's a guiding principle for us in any day on how to live our lives and how to face the turmoils and difficulties. As you turn to Isaiah 27, I'll tell you a story. When the kids were younger and the boys were younger, I used to wrestle with them, and I forgot to teach them something about wrestling. They do it in wrestling, they do it in MMA, and that's the tap out. Because when you tap out, the double tap, the person that has got you in the submission hold is supposed to let go so that nothing bad happens, right? And I believe it was Caleb. I had taught him how to do an arm bar. An arm bar is when you know, get the guy's shoulder up under your hips, and then you get the arm and you thrust forward with your hip. And you can break somebody's arm like that. So Caleb gets it like that, and I tap. And he keeps on putting the pressure on. And I'm tapping. And I'm like, tap, 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 tap. And finally I'm like, Caleb, stop. He was four, maybe five, and I looked at him. He was, Bam Bam was strong. But and I'm like, Caleb, you got to respect the tap. Have you ever noticed in your life that Satan doesn't respect the tap? All right? I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough, Satan. Pick on this guy because I can give you some names. Please stop. This hurts. And you're like, tap, tap. You know, tap, tap with this issue that I'm facing. Tap, tap with this relationship that I have. Tap, tap with this... the struggle that I'm going through, tap, tap with this relationship, tap, tap, I'm trying to overcome this habit. And the thing about the enemy is, and I hate to compare Caleb to Satan, but but just like Caleb, the devil doesn't really respect the tap. And so what happens is you can give up on freedom and go back to slavery to get momentary relief from the pain that you're in. And do y'all think that the devil feels sorry for you because you're tapping? I mean, do you think that the devil plays by the rules and leaves you alone because you're tired? Oh, I'm tired. You know, I give up. And I think that's what a lot of times relapses are. And I'm not talking just like in terms of substance abuse or the bottle. But when we fall back into something because that momentary relief of going back to that pattern of sin feels better and we're willing to go into bondage again and give up the freedom that we've earned. You know, I'm done feeling this way. I'm tired of feeling lonely. I'd rather be high. I don't like feeling like this. I'd rather be under the wrong influences. I'm going to go ahead and give in to this thing. But the devil doesn't respect your tap, and that's why giving in to self-pity will never produce any progress. So what I want to do today is look at this chapter 27 in Isaiah, because Isaiah is preaching to the entire nation of Israel during the reign of Hezekiah. The Assyrians are on the northern border, and they're coming, and Israel's already been devastated once, and here comes the Assyrians again, but Isaiah is going to give them a word of encouragement. It's a prophetic word that speaks directly to their pain. It says, Isaiah 27, verse 1, in that day, this is the prophet speaking the word of the Lord, in that day, the Lord with his sore, that means fierce, with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, and even Leviathan, the crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon in the sea. Let's pause and marinate this for just a second. Does anybody right now need God to kill something in your life that's been dragging you down? And we can find at least four things in the next few verses that we're going to be speaking on today. Number one, we can see very clearly that there's a fight. But what we're going to see in verse two is there's also a fruit, there's a fence, there's a future for us. And it's interesting because Isaiah is drawing on a mythological feature known as a creature known as the Leviathan. The Leviathan was written about in Greek literature. It's written about in Roman literature. As a matter of fact, it was a very common image of that day going all the way back to some of the earliest writings of mankind known as the writings of Gilgamesh, the Battle of Gilgamesh, which is the earliest known human writing. It talks about and what the Leviathan represented, what was known as chaos monster. If it was being written today, instead of Leviathan, they might use the imagery of Thanos or Voldemort or anything that's in your life that's bringing you chaos. And I know right now I'm speaking to some people that have some chaos going on in their life. This scripture is for you. I know I'm speaking to people that if they don't have chaos right now, they're going to have chaos in their life. This scripture speaks to you. So the prophet Isaiah talks to them about Leviathan. Isaiah doesn't believe in Leviathan, but he's going to use their imagery to make a point, because in the earliest writings, when we're talking about chaos, whether it was Greek, Roman, or the writings of Gilgamesh, it was always that the existing order was chaos, and then a God came and created order out of chaos. Now, we know that in the beginning there was nothing. The earth was void and without form, and the word of God moved over it. So Isaiah says, I'm going to take your imagery. Because our God can deal with our problems. He can deal with the problems as you understand them. And he says, this is what the Lord says, O nation of Israel, who's already laying in chaos, who also has an enemy named Assyria at the gate, one of the most despicable enemies in the world. They were so cruel. It's coming in that day. So the prophet Isaiah is talking about a particular day that's coming. And he's saying, in that day, the Lord will take his sore and great and powerful sword, he's going to fight a fight. So we know, number one, that there's a fight. And I know every single person in this congregation has a fight that's going on and a fight that's coming. But he also pictures the Leviathan in three separate areas. If you look at this first verse, let's read it again. And that day the Lord with his sore, great, and strong sword shall punish Leviathan. He says, the piercing servant. And then he says, Leviathan, that crooked servant. And then he says, and he shall slay, and then he pictures it as the dragon in the sea. Biblical scholars and rabbinic writers have written about this passage. And they say there's three representations of Leviathan right now, because at this time period, in this culture, Israel really had three major enemies at the time, which shouldn't come as a surprise to us in America. I mean, we got Russia, we got China, and then we have the rest of the world. They had the same thing going on in Israel. But at that time, the three enemies were the Assyrians, who were on the northern border and about to attack. And they're represented, according to rabbinic writers and biblical scholars, that's what the piercing serpent, that serpent that's crooked along right there. And one of the reasons why it is used as a piercing serpent is because of the river Tigris, which comes on through right by Israel. It's the Tigris River. And it's a pretty straight river, and it's a fast-flowing river. And they said, yeah, that's almost like a serpent that it just goes flying, and it's attacking, that piercing serpent. The other one that's in that passage is, he says, Leviathan, the crooked serpent. And this is based on an imagery of the Euphrates River, which is right beside the country of Babylon, Israel's second big enemy in the time period. And when you look at the Tigris-Euphrates River, it goes back and forth. The Euphrates River goes back and forth, and it's real slow. And so that's always been kind of an imagery of a crooked serpent who's just kind of cold there, who's just kind of in waiting, who's just out there, kind of your anxiety-ridden thing. And then he says the third imagery is that dragon that is by the sea, and that was always representative of Egypt. The people that initially Israel had flown to during the famine in order to save their lives, but quickly turn them into an oppressed people. There are times in your life when maybe you've gone into something, okay, but the seasons have changed and it's time to get away. Well, Egypt was kind of like that. So you have Assyria, you've got Babylon, and you've got Egypt being represented by this colossal monster called the Leviathan. And when I was studying about the Leviathan, what I realized is that while it might have represented Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt in its original concept, it represents something different to each and every one of us in this room, if we allow it. Leviathan, for most of us, is not necessarily the Pharaoh that you see or the Goliath who is big. What I notice about the Leviathan, it's attacking at times, and at other times it's coiled and waiting and hiding. So while there are Leviathans that we can see, there are economic conditions that cause us to be afraid. There are events in our lives that cause us to be stressed out. The Leviathan can also be in the sea, just waiting, just hiding, just beneath the surface. The Leviathan actually is not just some ancient monster. In fact, The Leviathan might be waiting for you back at home. Because we all have Leviathans in our lives. And sometimes Leviathans hide behind nice smiles, yet they're suppressing a buried rage that it comes out when it explodes at the wrong time, and you wonder, where the heck did that come from? And it didn't come from heck. It came from hell because it got released into your life. You know, you hear that phrase, all hell broke loose. Well, it didn't just break loose. It built up, and then it broke loose. And it comes at you like a Leviathan. And as long as the enemy, even if he's hidden, it can keep you unfocused, and you're wondering, where did it came from? Well, Isaiah's pretty clear to you. And the Bible's very clear to us. Because we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but we wrestle against evil things, right? And so the devil doesn't always wear horns. The devil doesn't have a red cape. The devil doesn't have a pitchfork. The devil hides until time knows you're susceptible. And I feel like what the Apostle Paul said is relevant to us today and relevant to you and to me when he says, we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. You and I have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine on the Leviathans in our lives. And since you're already fighting it, since you're already dealing with it, since you already have to put up with it, since you're wondering, how long is this going to be like this, since you can't really tell any of your friends about it because you can't really describe it, let's go ahead and call out the Leviathan by name. For me, one of my Leviathans is insecurity. And a lot of times insecurity is going to manifest itself in irritability. I'll get irritated about something, but that's usually because there's a deeper insecurity within inside of me. Leviathans, you're Leviathan to other people. It can take the form of temper tantrums, sharp and cutting words, pushing away people that are trying to love you for real. Leviathan is the thing that grabs you. It's pulling you down. It kind of it comforts you because it feels like warmth, but it's hurting you. And so here we come up, and the Leviathan, and Isaiah says, look, we got these things going on, and I want to give it a name. I want to call it, it's the Leviathan in us. That's the name that he gives us. And in that day, the Lord, with his sore, great, and strong sword, shall punish the Leviathan. The prophet is speaking of a day that is coming when these things are going to be punished. And so right now, maybe some of you are thinking, what's my Leviathan? See, the Leviathan just struck my head. Let me tell you what just went on in my brain. Oh, my goodness. All right. So when I do this, sometimes I've noticed, because sometimes I'll go back and check out the video, that my hair sticks up. And you people aren't good enough to me to let me know. I mean, at least some of you, Mama sometimes will go like that. But, you know, but like now I'm all insecure, and I'm like, can I keep preaching with my hair stuck up? Oh, man, Leviathans can attack us. What's your Leviathan, right? And some of you right now are sitting there thinking, what's my Leviathan? What is that thing that I need? And here, let me give you a clue how you can find it. What is that thing you need to numb with gossip? What is that thing you need to numb with alcohol? I hope this isn't happening, but what about some of y'all? What is that when you need to numb with CBD products? What is it you're trying to numb in your life? That's a Leviathan for you. And so the prophet's saying, in that day, the Lord is going to come. He's going to punish the Leviathan. There's going to come a day when the Leviathan is going to go down. That's the day that the prophet is prophesying about. But this is the good thing. This is a good thing. I want you to know that we're in a fight, but it's not your fight. In that day, I don't know if you underlined in your Bible, but underline this, the Lord. In that day, the Lord. In that day, the Lord, with his sore, his fierce, great, and strong sword, shall punish the Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even the Leviathan, that crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Did you notice it? The Lord. And I want you to notice what the Lord didn't say. The Lord didn't say through the prophet, in that day, I want you to fight a little bit harder. I want you to try a little bit more. God says, I know what's going on in your life. I know it's dragging down your spirit. I hear your cries of depression. I see the trembling of your hands and anxiety. I see the trauma that's buried deep inside you that nobody else can see that's hidden. But man looks out the inward appearance. I look on the inward appearance. God sees past the struggle. God sees the source. God looks past the weakness, and he gives more strength. And he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Shall not he who delivered his own son give us freely all things? So here's what I've come to announce in today's sermon. It's his fight. And I know three things. His sword is fierce. His sword is great. His sword is powerful. And guess what that means? It means I don't have to focus on the fight. I don't have to focus on I can focus on the one who is fighting with me in the battle anytime I choose. So if I could break it down for you, there's a fight and there's a sword, but the sword is in God's hands, not yours. That's why your efforts to fight through your flesh have always failed. And maybe you're like Caleb trying to armbar me. Why does this keep happening to me? Maybe because you haven't understood your responsibility, because this is your responsibility. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 1 says, in that day, the Lord, with his fierce, great, strong, and powerful sword, will punish the Leviathan. Verse 2, in that day, sing a song. What are you supposed to do? Sing. I want you to notice something else. That day, the same day. The same day that the fight is going on is the same day that you are to be singing a song. Why? How can I sing a song in the midst of the battle, Lord? Because the Lord is fighting the battle for you. And so many of us are trying to fight the battles on our own, trying to manipulate social media, trying to lay a word down here or gossip there, trying to control the situation, trying to be a helicopter parent. The battle is the Lord's. Verse 2, in that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. That is a full, ripe, plush vineyard. A vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, to keep it, I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. In other words, I'm not mad. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them and I would burn them together. The Lord is doing some smack talking here. This is pretty cool. Oh, let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. So the perspective of Isaiah 27 is a perspective of what's called integrated faith. Because there's really kind of two different kinds of faith. There's fragmented faith and there's integrated faith. Fragmented faith is a faith that says, you know, when things are good, I believe in God. When things are bad, I really doubt God. We're not called for a fragmented faith. We're called for an integrated faith. That when things are good, I believe in God. And when things are bad, that's okay, I believe in God. That when I look forward to the future, I look forward to the future, leaving room for disappointment, because my expectations, they're my expectations. The Lord doesn't answer to me. So maybe I need to leave room in my soul that my expectations will get a little bit disappointed and things won't work out the way I planned them to, because we do live in a sin-soaked world. And cancer does come, and Alzheimer's is diagnosed, and children do pass away unexpectedly. Bad things happen because of sin in this world, but ultimately, what's most important is not affected, because the battle has been won by our Lord. The day that Isaiah was prophesying about has already passed, and it was the day that Jesus went to Calvary and defeated death. As a matter of fact, we see in Revelations where that great serpent was specifically defeated by Jesus at the cross. It's a wonderful passage where it talks about he's riding on his steed, his robes are covered in blood, and the serpent's head is in his hand because he's cut it off. I mean, it's pretty cool. This day has happened, but today is your day. And today you are operating out of position of victory, but sometimes it doesn't feel like victory because you're more focused on the fight than you are on the fruit. I want you to notice something. The Lord commands us to sing, because the vineyard is full of wine. This is a fruitful vineyard. It's popping. It's already grown. And it came, maybe I didn't touch on this, I can't remember. Isaiah chapter 5, the vineyard has been devastated. Israel's been wiped up. I mean, they're just like lying on the dirt, having been beaten up by the bully of the neighborhood. And it's because of what they've done. But here we are in Isaiah 27, and they're about to get beaten up again. And Isaiah's saying, here's what the Lord says. I got the fight, and the fruit is going to be bountiful. Look at what's happened in your life. And many of y'all have gone through situations that are very devastating right now. But I want to let you know, that one little battle is not the ultimate battle. The ultimate battle has been won, and that's what you're supposed to focus on. The devil might be trying to get you to tap out, but don't tap out. Don't tap out. Let's keep on reading. Because we're supposed to have an integrated faith, a faith that is sustained. So even when we see a faith that when we see disappointments, we don't see them as disappointments, but as doorways to a greater faith, not a dead end. And I want to make sure that I don't let the experiences, or let's use the biblical word, that the Leviathans of my life don't regulate my expectation of God, because I think a lot of damaged relationships in our life are because of unmanaged expectations. So there's two things happening here. In that day, the Lord will punish with the sword. There is a fight, but there is also a song. And in that day, I will sing about a fruitful vineyard, and they are taking place on the same day. At the same time that God is dealing with the enemy, he commands you to sing about the fruit that is coming forth in your life. Christ defeated Satan at the cross. And today, as you experience that through faith in him, you can sing about whatever, you can sing about the fruit of the vine, even in the midst of your battle. So we've talked about the fight, we've talked about the fruit, and I really like focusing on the fruit of what Jesus has accomplished. That's fun. Let's talk about the fence. Because when we're talking about worship, well, let's read verse 3. In that day, verse 2, in that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine, sing to her. I, the Lord, do keep it. Okay, we can underline that word. Because that is a protective keeping. And some of y'all, I'm president of my homeowners association. Such a joyful job. And I try to keep them rational. But some of y'all live in subdivisions, I believe, are run by the descendants of the Nazis, right? Anybody got the Gestapo Homeowners Association? I know of one family that got an underground fence because the Homeowners Association is so retentive about the size of the fences and maintaining the fences. So they put in an underground fence, and nobody knows it's there except their dog. I mean, their dog knows exactly what the parameters of the underground fence is. Nobody can see it, but it's there. And here's what the Lord is saying about the vineyard. I, the Lord, do keep it. Now, we might not visibly see it, but brothers and sisters, you're being kept. And there's some places that God has not allowed you to go. There's some things that God has kept from you that you've never seen. But I, the Lord, do keep it. You know, it's awesome serving a sovereign, powerful God. The Bible says of our Lord that none can stay his hand or reply, what doest thou? He does his will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of earth. He is the Lord of 10,000 hills. That's who's keeping you. Your life is in his hand. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Not height, not depth, not principalities, not powers, not things that are coming, not things that have been. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. You are kept by a loving Savior. And man, I can focus on the fight. I can focus on the fruit. I can focus on the fence. But there's one other thing here too. And there's a future that he talks about. And it's found in verse 6. We'll read the rest of it through verse 6. In that day the Lord with his fierce, great, and strong sword shall punish the Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And in that day, that same day, sing ye unto her a vineyard full of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. That's the vineyard. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. I am not mad. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in the battle? I would go through them and I'd burn them together, or let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. And here we are, verse 6. It's the last verse for the day. And he, that's the Lord, shall cause them to come of Jacob. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Isaiah was prophesying about a day that would come, and I've mentioned it before. It's the day that Jesus was offered up to us and offered up for us, not to us, but for us. Now that was a glorious day. And Isaiah has been prophesying about that day, and he's saying, there's coming a day, people. I know that you're looking out at the land is kind of devastated. There's coming a day that the Lord's going to pick up the battle, and he's going to win the battle for us, and all we have to do is to sing about the vineyard. And then there's going to come a day after that. That's the day of Jacob and the descendants of Jacob, and they're going to fill the world, and it's going to be such a fruitful situation. So he's talking about a day, and then he's talking about another day. Some of the problems that we have in our life is that we are living our life waiting for that future day. Brothers and sisters, you're in that day. This is that day. This is the day that the Lord has made. So make a decision to live in this day. So that future that Isaiah was talking about, you're in it. And there's something that's really neat about this, because when Isaiah was prophesying about it, he was looking backward to Jacob. And he was saying how the descendants of Jacob are going to fill the earth and it's going to be very fruitful. There is a root that came out of Jacob, and we know that the Lord came out of Jacob. But in spiritual terms, that's the root of Jacob. In agricultural terms, there's something known as a tap root. And a tap root is the first root that comes out of a seed, and it actually is the one that goes the deepest into the soil. Because if you ever pulled out a plant, you'll see there's the tap root, but there's also a bunch of other roots that are pretty shallow that keep the plant anchored into the ground. But that tap root actually serves a very important purpose, because that's the one that goes the deepest, that when the drought comes, it can get to the water, and that it can sustain the plant, even if the other roots can't. And so, you know, you can tap out or try to tap out, but we have a choice as children of God. We can also tap in to the root that is Jesus Christ. And just like a taproot will sustain you in the drought times, the more that you tap in to Christ as opposed to tapping out of your situation, if you will use your experiences not as a dead end, but as a doorway, an opportunity to see God at work in your life, if you'll tap more into Jesus Christ, that root will go stronger and deeper and provide more nourishments to your soul. So many of you right now are going through difficult things. Brothers and sisters, that's just the nature of living in a sin-sick world. I hope it makes you long for the day that we get to live with our Savior forever. But that day's coming, but you're in this day, and in this day, right now, the day that Isaiah prophesied about, you can tap into the resource of Jesus Christ, because he's the only thing that really gives nourishment, right? Don't tap out. Tap into our Savior. And I know you've been fighting, and I know it feels stronger than you, and I know you don't see how to defeat it, and I know it runs in your family, I know you've been dealing with it for a long time, and I know it seems pointless, and I know it seems fruitful, but here is a prescription of the Lord, and we'll close out with this. Praise. Because praise and worship, which we've been trying to do since Thursday, praise and worship sinks that taproot deeper and deeper into the presence of God. And I want you to see this as we close out. I will slay the Leviathan. Leave that to me. And while I'm doing that, I want you to sing of the fruitful vineyard. How do we fight our battles? How do we fight our battles, our bottles, our addictions, our problems? We worship our way through them. We focus on Christ. We focused on the full vineyard that we weren't responsible for, that we didn't grow, that was given to us out of a devastated land, that was given to us by a good God. We worship our way out of our problems. If you're struggling right now and you want to join us at Camp Creek Church and worship with us, because there's no limit, there's no checklist, there's no background too vile that you can't come and worship with us, because it's not about us, it's about what He's done. We give you that chance as we stand to sing.